the order now is talking about what I spoke about on Shabbos. I'm behind now. I'm going from Shabbos till Tuesday instead of from Tuesday till Shabbos. So there were one or two people that were by that were in Woodmere Shabbos. So I wouldn't be. They should leave. They're welcome to stay to review, but mostly, I always change a little bit here and there the things, but mostly it's going to be going over that Indian. So whoever was here, whoever was there Shabbos, really should go learn the parasha. These past two weeks, we've been talking about the Malchus, the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. And I mentioned that it's going to be really a set of three discussions. So we're going to conclude with this inyan tonight, but each one could be understood or misunderstood, independent of the other. We're dealing now at a time, people like ourselves, when we read the Chumash, when we read these parashiyas, we wonder, how could it be that such great people would make such great mistakes, such grave mistakes? How could it be? And we think that certainly we would never have done such things. So I want to begin with a statement from the Holy Rebbe de Bnei Yisrael, from the Agra de Pirka. In order to understand on our level that which we are allowed to understand, when we're speaking about Gedolei Olam, when we're speaking about these great people, Meraglim, the spies, Kairach, that I mention every year, that the Holy Rebbe of Shmelke from Nicholsburg was a Levi, when he would speak about Parshas Kairach, he would call him the Heilige Zaydi Kairach, the Holy Grandfather Kairach. Mostly, when you hear speeches on Parshas Shavua, you hear Kairach being put down. The Ari HaKadosh revealed to us that the words Tzadik, Katar Mar Yifrach, the last letters spell Kairach, that the Tzadik will blossom. So the Rebbe de Bnei Yisrael says the following: Kol ma shetira b'tori mechatoi dor deya. When you look in the Chumash and you see the sins of that generation of Yitzias and Mitzrayim, the generation that received the Torah, al tetam alachevitz echdor kodesh kezeh. Don't ask. I mean, one can't help but wonder. But he says, don't be astounded by the fact that people who actually saw the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim with their own eyes, and people who stood at Har Sinai when the heavens were open, who received the Torah and heard the voice of Hashem. So we wonder, how could it be that people like that, how could it be that they should make such mistakes? How could they sin? Abol teide shekol chatosam hoyadakim and hadaka. So Bnei Yisrael says that you should know that their sins were committed on a level that's called Dakim and Hadaka, the most sublime, mysterious level. When we read the Chumash, because we have eyes that are coarsened by physical life, and we have eyes that have become accustomed to ugliness and corruption, so with our eyes we see in the spies and in Korach, we see faults that are our own faults, not theirs. Because their avarice took place on a very deep and sublime level. But because of their great exalted stature, because they were such great people, therefore, on their level, these were considered to be great sins. Now listen carefully to this. He quotes now from his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, the Holy Rebbe of Mendel from Rimanov. Rabbi Mendel, Schusia Genel and Ishoma. Haloitiru Shakolin Yonai Dovish Bigdusha Nilmad Mimaraglim Vaadas Kairach, Bigzeir Shove, the Toich Toich. The Rebbe from Rimanov makes a remarkable point. According to Chazal, the whole requirement to daven in a minyan, the mitzvah, the possibility of the being prayers that are called dvorim shebekedusha, special tfilos, kedusha, kaddish, the holiest parts of our davening, the halacha that requires a quorum of 10, a minyan, that halacha is learned out, is derived by Chazal by making comparison in the numbers of those who were present, those who sinned from the spies, because if you take away Kolev and Yehoshua, then you're left with 10. And the number who were involved in the Adas Korach, in the assembly of Korach, and the Gemara making a comparison of these two parashiyas, and basing itself upon the positive v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, that I will become sanctified amongst the Jewish people. So the Gemara derives from these two stories of the spies and of Korach the requirement to have 10 for a minyan. So Rav Mendel Rimanov says, that look what Hashem did. In order to show people like us that what was taking place with the spies and was taking place with Korach was something which was beyond their understanding, something which was so deep. And Hashem Yisbarach knew that forever, forever, until the end of time, we're not going to understand these things. And he was Mesavev, the Rimanov says, and the Bnei Soscha brings down, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesavev the Inyonim, that Hashem Yisbarach worked things out in his Chumash, that when you look in the, that when you want to find where do we have a minyan, from where do we have a Dovership, a Kedusha, how do the Jewish people have the ability to create a Tzibur? A Tzibur, a minyan is a powerful thing. The Gemara says in Brachas, and Av Ches, and there's a Rambam in Av Zayin, and there's a Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam says that the Tefillah, the praise of its Tzibur, the Tefillahs that take place with a minyan, and the Shmoyis Tamid are always heard. And where does that come from? The ability of 10 people to get together to create a minyan, that there should be a Dovish and a Kedusha. It comes from Korach and the Meraglim. That's where it's learned out from. Therefore, it's our responsibility to understand, to the extent that we're able to, the teachings that were revealed, that have been revealed to us through the tzaddikim over the generations, to try to understand in our madrega what happened, what went wrong, and what's still wrong, and how can people like ourselves correct or work to correct some of these mistakes. So let's begin. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parashat Shlach, the Zohar HaKadosh explains what happened with the spies. And when you first hear what the Zohar says, it doesn't make you feel any better. As a matter of fact, you probably feel worse. The Zohar teaches, this is the translation into the Hebrew from the Aramaic, Hamaraglim kulam tzaddikim hayu. V'roisha Yisrael. The spies were all tzaddikim. And they were the leaders of the Jewish people. Achlochu la'atzmam etzara. Omru. This was their mistake. They said. They thought. Im yalu l'eretz Yisrael. Yaviro yisonim eliyos nisiyim. That if the Jewish people are going to enter into the land, if Bnei Yisrael are going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to lose our positions as the princes of the tribes. We're going to lose our jobs. V'yimne Moshe achayim tachtenu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was going to appoint Nisiyim, princes, to replace us. We do this all the time. They said, we are only worthy to be princes of the tribes, to be leaders of the Jewish people in the desert, but not in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a pella. This makes the problem even greater. Because according to the Zohar Kaddish, it sounds like, Chalila, God forbid, these great tzaddikim were worried about being unemployed. Or they weren't, let's say they weren't worried about collecting a check. They were worried about losing, it seems, Chalila, losing their privileged status, losing the covet, the honor and glory of being the princes of the tribes. And why was it Taket? Why was it that they were only princes, or they assumed, they understood that they could only be princes in the Midbar, in the desert, and not in Eretz Yisrael? Because in that respect, it could be they were right. Nevertheless, it seems to us as if it's a very selfish reason. And that for that, they should give a fault, they should give a report regarding Eretz Yisrael that would cause the hearts of the Jewish people to break, and we would have to spend 40 years wandering in the desert and thousands of years waiting for Mashiach. So let's return to the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, the Malchus, the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu. That one unique time that was in Jewish history, in our lives. You see, the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, was a Malchus of the Midbar, was a Malchus of the desert. And the meaning of that, the Hanhoga, the way that Hashem guided the Jewish people in the desert, the way that we lived with Hashem Yisbarach in the desert, as we spoke about the last 2 weeks, the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem lived with us in that way that's called the Hashgocha Nisis, a miraculous way. And we received the man, the food was given to us, the Baruch Shalom reached down from heaven and gave each one of us to eat. And he was hugging us in his cloud. And he gave us a little baby bottle of Miriam, the water from Miriam as well. Each one of us was being nursed by the Baruch Shalom Mamash. And in that miraculous world that was the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malchus of the desert, there were leaders. There were Nesiyim, there were princes. And their understanding was that the Jewish people can be certain of their attachment to God, can be certain to remain securely wrapped in Hashem's embrace, only as long as this Malchus of the desert will continue. They understood that what was about to happen, or what Hashem is Baruch was bringing them towards, was the Malchus of David HaMelech. And you remember that the kingdom of David HaMelech, meaning the kingdom of Eretz Yisrael, is a world of Ishtadlus, of human effort, of God's concealment, a malchus of davening, of pouring your heart out in order to see, to feel a little bit of God's presence. A natural as opposed to a supernatural way of life. So all the Svarim HaKadoshim explain. All the Svarim HaKadoshim explain. Kuzhin Samagit, Sfasem is Tanya. It's found in the writings of the Ramchal and the Gra. All of the Svarim say. That the fear of the Miraglim of the spies was not that they were afraid of losing their own positions of authority. God forbid. These were the tzaddikim. They weren't afraid of that. They were afraid that Hashem's kindlech, that Hashem's children wouldn't be able to remain tzaddikim. They wanted to sustain the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted it to continue. They wanted that way of the midbar to be forever. Or as long as they could kvetch it out. But the Rebbeinu Shlom had other plans. And here we have a teaching from the great tzaddik, Rabbi Yisachar Doy from Belz, the Belzer Rebbe, Schusi again Aleinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu tried so hard to prevent the failure of the Meraglim. And there was one person in the world to whom Moshe Rabbeinu was attached in the greatest and deepest way, and that was his student Yehoshua. And the Torah tells us that the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did to protect Yehoshua, to help Yehoshua, is that he davened for him. He changed his name. So the Torah says, Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that he added on the Yud to the name Hoshea. Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. And Rashi, I'm sure you're all familiar with this Rashi. Rashi teaches us, Hispalel of Yud Hei Ka, Yoshiachom Yatzas Meraglim. That Moshe Rabbeinu davened, may the name Yud Hei, that's one of the holy names of Hashem, may Yud Kei, Yud and Hei, Ko Yoshiachom Yatzas Meraglim. May the Yud Kei, may the Rebbeinu Shlom, who is known, one of the ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to in this world is Yud Hei. May Yud Hei, Ko Yoshiachom Yatzas Meraglim. So before the Yud was added, Hoshea's name only had the Hey. It was Hoshea bin Nun. And Moshe Rabbeinu added on the Yud. And in doing so, he was able to bring together the energy of the Yud and the Hey to create the name of God, which is Yud Kei. And the tefillah was, Ko Yoshiacha Miatzas Meraglim. May Yud Hey save you from the mistake of the spies. So the Belzer Rebbe explained, now listen to this, is a very big chiddush. The Belzer Rebbe explained, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu Davke davened with the name Yud Kei? Why create the name Yud Kei in Yehoshua's life? What was missing? Why did he have to do that? And it worked. It worked. For Yehoshua it worked. So his explanation is as follows. The Pasuk says, we've spoken about this many times. The Pasuk says, Bidchu b'Hashem adayad, ki b'koh Hashem tzur elomim. Trust in Hashem forever. Bidchu b'Hashem adayad, ki b'koh Hashem tzur elomim. Ki b'yud hei, ki b'koh Hashem tzur elomim. Trust in God forever and ever. Because he formed the worlds with the letters Yud Hey. Ki beka Hashem tzur elamim. So Chazal say in Menachos, what does that mean? Ki beka Hashem, that Hashem formed the worlds in the plural. That Hashem formed the worlds with the letters Yud Hey. Ki beka Hashem tzur elamim. And Chazal say, And I'm sure that most of you are familiar with this, that the two worlds were created with these two letters, that with the letter Yud of His holy name, Hashem created Olam Haba, the world to come, with the letter Yud. And we've spoken about it many times. Why is it the letter Yud Davke? And with the letter He, Hashem created Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh. This world was created with the letter He. And that's the meaning of Bidcha B'Hashem Adayad. Trust in Hashem, He's with you everywhere. Ki Baka Hashem Tzor Olam, Hashem created both worlds. The world to come with the letter Yud and this world with the letter He. Therefore, the Belzer Rebbe said that the name of Hashem, Yud-Keh, Yud-Heh, is revealing to us the purpose of life, the tachlis of this crazy world. Crazy only because we don't understand it. It's not crazy. We don't understand it. It seems to us that it's crazy. But the tachlis is, Hashem didn't want it to be just a Yud or just a Hey. If Hashem didn't want it there to be just a Yud, it would have been just an Olam of Neshamas, a world, a spiritual world. And if Hashem wanted there to be, God forbid, just a Hey, then there would be no tachlis to anything, just a physical world. There's no tachlis. It's ridiculous. The purpose of life is to bring these two worlds together. The purpose of life, and that this is the tafkid of man, which is summed up in one pasuk, b'chol drechecha de'eyu, in all your ways know God. In all your ways to know Hashem, it means that in this world of bos of Adam, of flesh and blood, in this world of eating and drinking and sleeping, in this world of raising families, of working, that the light of Hashem should penetrate into this world, that mysterious Yud from the higher world, from Olam Haba, should become comfortable in this world, so that every single physical act, that all of the physical, seemingly meaningless acts of life should become infused with the presence of God. And that's the tachlis of creation. Ki b'ka Hashem tzor olam, Hashem created the worlds in order that they should be brought together by man. By that human being who's a sulam mutzavatz of Yerusha Magia Shemaim, who's a ladder, a human being whose mind is in heaven, whose feet are planted on earth. Therefore we say in Davening, Dovra Melech said, Lehameisim Yehaleluka, those who have died, Lehameisim Yehaleluka, they cannot praise Yud-Heh. Those who have died have left this physical world. They live in a malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu somewhere beyond the physical world. Lo hameisim yehaleluka. Those who have died cannot serve Yud-Heh, the purpose of creation, which is Yud-Heh. Which is why the Vilna Gaon cried before he passed from this world, as is well known, that he held up his talis kodesh in his tzitzis and he cried that for a few pennies, I'm able to accomplish so much in this world and in the world to come, you can't go to the Svarim store and buy a talis koton. A physical talis koton, a couple of strings and a beged, where a human being can accomplish what worlds can be created. V'loy kol yoredei duma. And those who have descended into silence cannot serve Yud-Heh. V'anachnu nevarechka. V'anachnu. It's hard to believe. V'anachnu, hear us. In this world, with all of its temptations and difficulties and sorrows, yisurim and suffering, but v'anachnu nevarech ka, davke. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yeshua. Ko Yoshiach ha-me'atzas meraglim, may the name Yud-Heh, he added the Yud to the name of Hoshea Binun, to create the name Yud-Ke, Yehoshua. And you know this was taken from Sari Yimeinu, that Yud from Sarai, that itself was a very deep inyan we've spoken about in the past. It's not for now. But those of you who are trying to understand the parasha will understand why it had to be Sari Yimeinu as well. But the Yud was taken from Sari Yimeinu. And it was given to Yehoshua. Because the mistake of the Meraglim was as follows. You could be a religious Jew. If you're in yeshiva, you're in seminary, you're in Yerushalayim, you're in a particular street in Yerushalayim, in a particular building with a particular teacher at a particular time of the day, you could be a good Jew. and a particular time of your life, many people are thinking, when I'll get married, I'll be a good Jew. Right now, I can't be. When I'll be in yeshiva, I'll be a good Jew. I'll say Tehillim when I'm older. I'll learn Shas when I'm older. So the Meraglim despise believed it was impossible to establish a kingdom of God, a kingdom of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't let go of Hashem's cloud, of Hashem's man, of Hashem's hug. They couldn't let go. We can be tzaddikim, we can be princes, we can lead the Jewish people, and the Jewish people themselves can be Hashem's tzaddikim. As long as things are clear. As long as they have that, as long as they have that siyata d'shmaya, that nudge from above. They wanted to continue the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Ka Yoshiach, he davens for Yehoshua to bring together the letters Yud and Hey. Because the meaning of the Yud and the Hey coming together means to take the Yud from Olam Haba, the Yud from the desert, the Yud from Sarai, the Yud from the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yud from the miraculous, the Yud from the supernatural, the Yud from HaKadosh Baruch, and to bring it into Eretz Yisrael, to bring it into the Hay of Hosheya, to join together, Ki Baka Hashem, Sur Elom, Banachna Nevarach Ka. That's the teaching by the Be'ez HaRev. And to support this, we have an extraordinary gematria that's brought down in the Sforim. The numerical value of the word Yehoshua, the numerical value of the word Yehoshua equals exactly the words Bechol Drachecha De'eyu. To know God in all of your ways. In all of your ways to know God. To connect to Him every minute of your life. Not just in the Midbar, not just with the Man. Having established this, on our Madreg, on our level, trying to understand the teaching of the Zohar HaKadosh, we can now move a little forward in time to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, who spent his life explaining the Zohar, the Arizal. Now listen to what we find in the Kisvei Ari. But here you have to make sure to get the words down carefully, either on paper or the Luach HaLev. There's an extraordinary chiddush in the Ari HaKadosh. The Arizal taught, and those of you with whom I've learned over the years will be familiar with the concept. But the way the Arizal taught it in the parasha, the Arizal said that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send the Shvatim with the koach of Lei Imenu, the mystery of Lei Imenu. But the Meraglim, the spies, insisted on going in the way of Rachel Imenu. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to send them in the way of Leah. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Kisvei Ari is very much connected to Leah. That's why the place of Moshe Rabbeinu in this world was the Ohel, the tent. That's where he met God, that's where he spoke to God, that's where he connected to Hashem. And Ohel is the letters Leah. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send the spies in the way of Lei Imenu. But they were only able to go only. They insisted on going in the way of Rachel Imenu. And he says, you see this in the parasha, this is what Arizal taught. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies. It says, Asher Sholach, these names, it tells us the 12, the Meraglim, the spies. And then it says, Asher Sholach Moshe Losur Es Haaretz. That whom Moshe sent Lasur, some of you would say Latur, to spy out, to see. Lasur es ha'aretz. And the letters Lasur es ha'aretz spell Leah. The first three letters, Lasur, Lamed, Es, Aleph, Ha'aretz, Hey, spells Leah. The Moshe Rabbeinu sent them in the side of Lei Imenu. He sent the spies with the koach, with the eyes of Lei Imenu. That's what he wanted. But the Meraglim only wanted to go beside Rachel. Therefore, it says, when it tells us the place to where they went, and they wouldn't go further, so it says, Vayalu ad Rechov Levo Chamos. They went up to the place that was called Rechov Levo Chamos. So you would say, some of you, Rechov Levo Chamat. I don't want you to think it's a Samach, it's a Sof. Although the correct way to pronounce it is Sof. Vayalu ad Rechov Levo Chamos. They came to the place that's called Rechov Levo Chamos. And the Reshitevas of Rechov Levo Chamos spells Roch. That's where they went till, not beyond. Roch Limeinu. That's how we're going. Moshe Rabbeinu says Leia. The Maragim say Roch. That's all the Arizal said about this. So let's try to understand an Almadrega. What does this mean? To go in the way of Laimenu, but to insist on the way of Roch Limeinu. Many of you are familiar with the teaching of the Zohar that Lay and Roch are not just two people. Lay and Roch are two worlds. Mamish, two worlds. Layimenu is called, in the Lashon of the Zohar, Layimenu is called the Almadis Kasya, the world of concealment. Layimenu means that which is inside, which you can't see. And Roch Limeinu is called the Almadis Galya, the world that is revealed. And the Holy Rebbe from Rizhin, the Rizhiner taught that there are two ways to serve God. The two basic ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the way of Roch Limeinu, there's the way of Layimeinu. When Yaakov came to the house of love and he wanted Roch Limeinu, when he met Rachel, he knew that that's what he wanted, that's whom he wanted. And what does Roch Limeinu mean in the service of Hashem? So the vision is said, it means that which is beautiful. Rachel is described as being exceedingly beautiful, Yifas Torah, Yifas Mara. She was perfect, she was beautiful. And the Rishna said that means serving God with Torah and Mitzvahs. With Torah and Mitzvahs. The Baruch Shalom's Torah is so beautiful, the Mitzvahs are beautiful. In other words, following Hashem's instructions that are beautiful and experiencing Ruchnias. Everybody here has experienced the Roch Limeinu moment, the Roch Limeinu hour. It could be by a Ne'ilah, by a third meal, by a Shal Shudas, by a Lel Shabbos, by a Zmiris. Everybody has experienced a revealed moment of closeness. And Hashem gave us Kalim, gave us the utensils to reveal the Ruchnias in our lives. There's Torah and mitzvahs, davening and so on. That's serving Hashem in the way of Roch Limeinu, the Alma Dizgali, that which is revealed, that which is beautiful. But then you have another way of serving God. That's called the way of Layimeinu, the Alma Dizkasya. And here, people look at Layimeinu, when people would see Layimeinu, they wouldn't see that she was beautiful. The Torah says, Ve'ene Leah Rakos, that the eyes of Leah, there are many ways to translate Rakos, but the usual interpretation is not flattering. That the eyes of Leah were dim, had lost their beauty. Layimeinu wasn't seen as the beautiful one. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. It says in the Torah that Hashem saw that Leah was despised. So what does it mean to serve Hashem in the way of Layimeinu? But inside of Leah there was such a fire, there was such beauty. She named her first child Reuven, Ra Hashem, the second child Shimon, Shama Hashem. Hashem, you see what's inside of him. Hashem, you can hear the inner voice. But everybody else thinks that I'm not pretty. So what does that mean in serving God? So the vision is said it means It means the person that tries to serve Hashem at work, try to be able to look inside a sefer to watch one's eyes when sitting on a train. It means to try to deal with people in a way that's a kiddush Hashem. It means to be careful. When you eat, you should try to eat in a way that a Jew should eat, with proper intentions, in a proper way, proper speed. Now here, when you look at this, you say, this person is eating, this person is walking, talking, this person's in the shuk in the marketplace. So when we look at that way of serving God, it doesn't seem to us to be beautiful. When you point out a person who's sitting and steiging and learning, you say, that's beautiful. It is? For sure, Roch Lemeinu was beautiful. And when a person is wrapped in a tefillin, when a person is doing a mitzvah, when a person is saying a kapitel tehillim, it's Roch Lemeinu, it's beautiful, it's mamish beautiful. And when you're feeling uplifted in the service of God, it's Roch Lemeinu, it's mamish beautiful. But then when you look at a person, who's trying to be honest at work, he's trying to help out yeshivas, he's trying to send his children through yeshiva, or children through yeshiva. When you look at a person who takes the time to talk to another Jew, to tell stories, to cheer the person up, to tell a good joke, with the right intentions, someone will say, do you see that person? What a tzaddik. So many people look and say, it's tzaddik. Mishkarash Shiva might not even have a beard. Looks like anybody else. What kind of tzaddik is that? So the Rishna says that the Baruch Shalom has his little tzaddikim. They're called B'chol Drachecha De'ayu Yidin. They're called the types that know God in all of his ways, in all of their ways. This is the Malchus of David HaMelech. This is the Malchus of David Malka Mashiach. Even though David was so handsome, was so beautiful, but his ways were unappealing to many people, as you know. And his whole life, there was machloikis about who he was and where he comes from, and maybe he is, maybe he's not, and why did he do this? He shouldn't have done. Who can understand? But the Targum understands, because the Targum's job is to translate, to interpret. And the Targum translates the Pasuk, Ve'enei Leah Rakos, and the eyes of Leah were dim or weren't beautiful. The Targum translates, Ve'enei Leah Yoyin, that the eyes of Leah were beautiful. That's how the Targum translates the word Rakos, beautiful. Because to everybody in the world, it might look like she's not beautiful, but the Ribbono Shel Olam, Leah Imenu, is so beautiful. That's serving Hashem in the Alma Diskasya in a way that people would never think that that's the service of God at that moment. Who knows? It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. To understand this on a deeper level, the Baal Shem's grandson, the Rebbe of Baruchel from Meshbetz, said in that frightening parasha up ahead in Kiseitse, when the Torah tells us about the man who has two wives and there's a dispute over the right of the firstborn, so the Torah says, Kisiena leish de noshim, that if a man has two wives, ha'achas ahuva v'ha'achas snua, one of the wives he loves, v'ha'achas snua, and the other one he despises, and whoever looks at the Chumash in the right way, can see in that pasuk the light of Rachel and Leah. But if a man has two wives, ha'achas ahuva v'achas snua, one he loves and the other he despises. Again, Yaakov didn't mamish despise Leah Chalil, as the Ramban explains. But the Torah says, v'yar Hashem ki snua Leah, compared to Rachel. Kisiena li'ish, te'noshim ha'achas ahuva v'achas snua v'yaldu le'bonim. And the man had children with both of these wives. So the Torah tells us a din. That you cannot show preference to the firstborn child of the one of the wife that you love over the firstborn child of the wife that you despise. Ki as ben ha-bechor yakir lo seis lo pishnaim, you shall give double to the one who is the bechor, even if he's the firstborn of the snua, of the one who's despised. So the Rebbe Baruch Hu from Meshbetz taught That there are some people, let's explain it in a different way. In a person's life, there are times that he's serving Hashem in the way of Rachel Imenu. That's called Ahuva, the one that's beloved. That means with Torah and mitzvahs and, you know, Shabbatons and Ruchnias and Kol Holom Kulom. The whole thing. That's the way of Rachel, that's the Alma Disgalia. And then there are times in life that you feel that's called the Ben Hasnua, the child of the one who's despised. That means your attempts to try to do good and right and honest and decent things, to have good thoughts, to have holy thoughts at a time when you're doing physical things in this world that are not attached to a specific mitzvah, are not clearly an act of any mitzvah, are not spiritually inclined. And when you look at your life, you'll say, "Oi, ki sieno lishtei noshim." There were two times in my life, two types of times. One I call Rachel. I only really wanted to marry Rachel. And one is called Leah, and Leah is despised. So the Torah says, the Baruch Shalom says, you should know, with Zilpa, you know, had double the children that Rachel Imenu. Twice as many children as Rachel and Bilhah. So the avoida, the way of serving God that's called the avoida of Lei Imenu in this world is not looked upon highly. So, there was a student of mine who told me recently that, I mentioned this on Shabbos, there was a student that told me that in Eretz Yisrael he's embarrassed to get a job as a Rebbe in Yeshiva because people look down upon him, his friends will look down upon him. How come he's not staying and learning? How come he's going to teach Torah? And he's mamish afraid, even though they desperately need the money. And the truth is that it's time for him to move on. And he would be wonderful, a wonderful Rebbe, and could share a great deal of Torah. But he is afraid. Because people will say, he's a ben asnua. And only Hashem knows. There are those Jews who are privileged to live in the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they live attached every moment to holiness. That's a great schuz. But not everybody can live in that malchus. The Meraglim were afraid to undergo that transformation, to shift from the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu to the malchus of David HaMelech. And this transition would take place with Moshe Rabbeinu giving out a scream, a shry, Ko Yoshiacha, to bring the letters Yud Hei together in the name Hoshea Bin Nun. Because Yud Hei means Ki B'ko Hashem Tzor Elom. It means Yud is Olam Haba, which means the hidden world of Lei Imenu. And Hei means the Almud is Gaia, the revealed world of Rachel Imenu. Think of the region there in Rabaruch from Meshbet, so we understand. Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he understood his Malchus, had come to its conclusion. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was such a Lei Imenu person, it was so connected to the Isgaliyah, to the revealed world of Rachel, to miracles, to the Mon, to the Be'er. Nevertheless, he understood, and in the deepest root of his being, there was Leah. The very essence, the underlying essence of Moshe Rabbeinu was the connection of both worlds, to bring about that unification. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who received the Torah and Hasina, therefore he's the one who he must bring about this unification. But the Malchus of he must connect heaven and earth. But the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu of the desert was a Malchus of miracles. And he knew that the time had come for the Jewish people to be weaned from the world of Rachel Imenu, from the complete world of Rachel Imenu, from the seclusion of Rachel, and to descend for the purpose of ascending into the avoda of Lei Imenu, which means avoda begashem, yisbechol derechecha de'ehu, and all of your ways know God, which is the side of Yahushua, of Ka Yoshiach, Ki Beka, Hashem Tzolom, Vanachnu Nevarach Ka. Vanachnu Nevarach Ka. That's our job. Yud Hey, you can't always be at the Shabbaton. You can't always be in Yeshiva. I got news for you. Not everybody, not even in Yeshiva is everybody in the Yeshiva. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Even in the Yeshiva, not everybody's in the Yeshiva. Even in front of the Gemara, not everybody's in the Gemara. But But the Meraglim were terrified of this. The Meraglim didn't want to relinquish the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were holding on. Therefore, the Ari HaKadosh says that they only went Vayalu ad Rechov Levoi Chamos until Rechov Levoi Chamos, which spells Rachel, the mystery of Rachel Imenu. And Rachel remains outside. And now we can understand a wondrous thing. Mamish a wondrous thing. And here I'm combining Torah's the teachings of the Apter Rav, the Oiv Yisrael, and the Rebbe of Herschel, Rimanov, Svi Hirsch from Rimanov. These tzaddikim taught, understand this, these tzaddikim taught, and this is rooted in the Zohar and the Ari, they taught that the purpose of the Meraglim, of the spies going to Eretz Yisrael, was to correct the sin of the earth, was to repair the sin that took place on the third day of creation. Because you all know that on the third day of creation, Hashem told the earth to produce trees that would taste the same as the fruit. You remember this? That the tam ha'ech would be ketam ha'pri, would have the same taste as the fruit. We don't have that now. Till Mashiach, the only thing that we have left is the esrog with the tam ha'ech ketam ha'pri. Or another opinion, the Gemara Brach is also, there's another possibility. The Iker is the Esri. But in the meantime, until Mashiach comes, we're living in a world where there's a separation between the trees and the fruits. And the earth rebelled, whatever that means, we've spoken about that in the past from Rav Kook and Maral, that the earth somehow was woven into the tapestry of creation, that the earth itself wouldn't respond to that request, Kivyachal of Hashem, that the taste of the fruit and the taste of the trees should be the same. And in this world, everybody loves the fruit. The fruit's delicious, but the trees are shkantan. Trees don't taste good. And according to the tzaddikim, the Meraglim, the spies, were sent ahead of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael to prepare the way to fix the curse of the land by restoring the world, Eretz Yisrael, to its original state with a tam ha'etz, the taste of the tree, should be ketam ha'pri, like the taste of the fruit. So, listen to how it's understood in the psukim. It says in the pasuk, "V'chisavo al haaretz, when you will come into the land, unetatem kol eitz ma'achol, and you will plant the eitz ma'achol, the tree to eat, the tree of eating, so that the apter of tort." It says, when you will come into the land, when you will enter into Eretz Yisrael, you shall plant the tree that can be eaten. That's how it's interpreted in a deeper way. Unetatem kol eitz ma'achol. Didn't have to say, well, kol eitz. But it says, unetatem kol eitz ma'achol. That the tree itself will be able to taste the same as the fruit. That they should have the same taste. And the Meraglim knew this, but we'll see in a moment, even though they knew this, they understood this in the deepest way, much deeper than we could ever understand. Nevertheless, there was something, there was a tiny, tiny drop of their own interest that was mixed in, and because of that, the whole thing was distorted. But they understood this, and they were struggling, they wanted desperately to be good messengers. They wanted to carry out the work of Leah and Rachel being brought together. But what happened was, and we know that they wanted it, and it says in the Torah, Vayichusu Misham Zemayr of Eshklanovim Echad. The Pasuk says that they brought back from the land, they cut down when they went to Eretz Yisrael, Zemayr, which means the tree. For Eshklanovim, and the cluster of grapes, the pole that was used for carrying, they brought the tree, the Zemora, and the Eshkol Anovim Echad. And the Apterov explained, Hainu liyachad ha-Eshkol ha-Anovim ha-Pri im ha-Zemora ha-Eitz. That the point here, that they understood that our tafkid, our job is to reunite the two worlds of Rochel and Leah. To reunite the Yud and the Hay, and to prepare for the Kibush, the conquest of the land, to bring this world back to Hashem, to bring Hashem back to this world, into this world, So they brought the tree with the cluster of grapes, and it says in Pasuk, Zemar of Eshkol Anovim Echad, and made them into one, to bring about the reunification of the tree and the fruits, that the tree should taste like the fruit. And keep in mind especially the opinion which is prevalent among the Mekubalim that the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil took place with grapes. And this was to prepare the way for the Geula, for the redemption of the Jewish people, for their final end. So we understand according to what we're talking about. Now, what does this mean? Trees and fruits, and the trees should taste like the fruits. What does this mean? So we've spoken in the past of the Maharal's Mahalach and the Rav Kook's Mahalach, but let's understand according to what we're learning today. Let's understand. If somebody would ask you, as I'm going to do right now, if somebody would ask you, who would you consider to be the fruits? And who would you consider to be the trees? Which one is Rachel and which one is Leah? Is Rachel the fruit or the tree? Which is Rachel Yemain? Huh? The fruit. What's the child? Rachel Yemain is delicious. Beautiful. Rachel Yemain means Torah and Mitzvahs. Rachel Yemain means Asheni Yid. It means the tzaddik. It means that which is revealed and understood and clear and beautiful and open. It's all that we want for our children, Bez Hashem. Everybody wants the fruits. Yaakov wanted Rachel Yemain. Everybody wants the fruits. The fruits are good. The fruits are beautiful. Everybody would want to be a tzaddik. It's just, you have to go through so many trees to get to the fruit. And the trees have a bitter taste. Their mamash don't have a taste. The trees, the Bechina of Leah Yemain, the Alma Diskasi, the world of concealment. And the trees, the meaning of that is that way of serving Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, the way of serving Hashem when you don't taste the sweet taste of a Shabbaton or of a Mitzvah, of a Ne'ilah, of a Shalosh Hudos, of a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You don't even have the sweet taste of a home where Shabbos is necessarily kept. Or the sweet taste of a yontiv. Or the sweet taste of being in the presence of tzaddikim. But you try in your own way to go through the bitter years in a concealed and hidden way to serve Hashem, even though to the other people it looks like, well, what are you doing? You're not holding by it. You're not a Rachel Yemain. So there are fruits and there are trees. The tachlis of creation is that the tam ha'etz, there's going to come a time when Mashiach will be here, where the taste of the tree will be revealed to be the same taste as the fruit, and the whole world will see the beauty of Leah Yemainu. The whole world will see the inside of Leah Yemainu, that every single moment she was serving God in the way of B'chol Drechecha De'eyu, in that way which the outside world appeared to be not exciting and not delicious, but just hard work and struggling to be a Jew. In the Malchus of David HaMelech, the descendant of Leah Yemain. So what happened? What happened with the spies? They understood. They brought back this tree with the grapes connected. They brought back the Eitz HaDaas, Toivara, Mamish with the Eitz HaChaim together. They brought it back to fix that the Tam HaEitz should be Ketam HaPri. So what happened? So the pasuk goes on and says, how do they carry this cluster of grapes? So it says, Vayisa'uhu bamot b'shnayim. They carried it, bamot, which means that pole, b'shnayim, there were two of them. Two people carried it. So the Rebbe from the Rebbe Hishel Rimanov says, Heim bo l'day hisnasus v'gaiva. The word v'yisa'u, which means to carry, comes from the word hisnasus, which means pride or presence of the ego. And the point here, the Rimanovitz says, is that there was this ever so delicate presence of self-interest that we know that our malchus is only a malchus in the midbar. In other words, of course, it was a shem shemaim, it was the deepest thing as we spoke about from the beginning. But there was a tiny bit of hisnasus of gaiva that our malchus must remain. And we will remain the leaders of this malchus in the world of the desert of the yud. Therefore it says, v'yisahu bamot. And the word bamot means a pole, but it also means nismotetu, it means to fail. Nismotetu means to stumble, to fail, to fall. That's what it means. V'yisahu bamot, and therefore the result of that was bishnayim, the Rimanovitz says. That instead of it being one thing, instead of bringing the taste of the tree and the fruit together, that instead of it being what it was supposed to be, what it originally was, zemoyer ve'eshkol anovim echad. Instead, what happened is v'isa'uhu b'amayt b'shnayim. They broke off again into those separate worlds of Rachel and Leah, of the desert and Eretz Yisrael, of Bavel and Yerushalayim. They broke into two worlds. Rachel and Leah were separated, were torn apart. The yud and the hay was separated. V'yisa'u b'amayt b'shnayim. That was because of the v'yisa'u, because that little trace of self-interest, b'amayt, they failed, they stumbled, b'shnayim, and they broke it in half. The tree and the fruits became separated, rochel and layim. No, Mimela, now we understand that, of course, we're talking about the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben David, who comes from Leah, and Mashiach ben Yosef, who comes from Rachel. These two ways. Therefore, it had to be, that there were two spies who didn't sin. There were two spies who, through all these dark years of Golos, are screaming that the Tam Hayetz can still be like the Tam HaPri, who are still fighting to bring Rachel and Leah together, who are still holding on to that promise. Therefore, the two who didn't fail, Yehoshua and Kalev, Yehoshua, of course, comes from Ephraim, which is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Kalev from Yehuda is Mashiach ben David. And they went in the Soy, they went with the mystery of bringing together the name Yud-Hei, are bringing together those two worlds of Rachel and Leah, and Yeshua and Kalev remained mamish attached to each other to enter into the land, to prepare the way for redemption, the way of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Therefore we understand the teaching in the Agudat Kala, the Bnei Soska writes, V'zeu shomer Hashem Yisbarach b'mayim repiv shlach lecho anoshim. That Hashem gave the commandment to send the people. Ani Hashem yodeya shiyemoshech mizeh shabach v'sayomim. Rak ish echad. Tishlchu b'mheir b'yameinu amein. The Bnei Soska said, I know that for many, many years you're not going to, you know, Hashem was saying, that I know that for many years you're not going to understand why I allowed these people to go. Why I told Moshe Rabbeinu, shlach lecha, send them. You're not going to understand. But the pasuk goes on to say, ish echad, that one amazing man, ish echad, Mashiach ben Yosef, ish echad, the other amazing man, that one person, Mashiach ben David. Haini rak mishnei shvatim, Yehud and Ephraim, heim yiyu kol nasi bohem. They will be the princes, not the rest. They will bring about the redemption. They're planting the seeds for redemption. The gula will come through Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. In Mela now we can understand an amazing thing. There's a rule in creation that all beginnings and ends have to be connected. That's found in the Sefer Yetzirah of Avraham Avinu. No, Sefer Metchilos and Tchilos and B'Sefer, that the beginning and the end have to be connected. That's why at the end of time we're going to celebrate the coming of Mashiach. We're going to eat a special meal from the Levyos and the great fish, which Chazal say
surrounds this world and its tail is in its mouth. At the end of time, this will be revealed. But all beginnings and ends are connected. That's the meaning of dancing in a circle. It's the meaning of tubav. It's the meaning of a wedding ring. So to connect the beginning of Parshas Shlach and the end of Parshas Shlach. And with this you can understand Parshas Korach as well. I leave that up to you. The beginning of the parasha, of last week's parasha of Shlach. Ve'isem es ha'aretz mahi. Go and see the land, see what it is. Hayesh bar eitz im ayin. Go see if the tree is there or not. Go see if you could fix the tree. Hayesh bar eitz im ayin. And the end of the parasha, the last mice in the parasha before the mitzvah of tzitzis, but the end of the parasha, v'yemotzu ish mekoshesh eitzim b'yom ha-shabbos, that there was a man who was cutting down trees on Shabbos. Mekoshesh is a machlokes mefarshim rishonim, what does it mean mekoshesh eitzim? The Tanya brings from the Zohar Kaddish, that the Zohar says that this is referring to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The Mekoshes Eitzim is the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas Toivera. And he was being oikir, he was tearing these trees away from the, away, pulling them apart from each other. That's what the Mekoshes was doing. He was taking them away from the Mokim HaGidl. In other words, these two trees are the trees of Rochel and Leah, and they belong together. The tree of Rochel, he meant it was the Eitz HaChaim, it's clarity. It's the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the desert, it's the Mon, it's the well of Miriam. It's the Malchus that's revealed. It's the Amad Esgali, it's the beauty of Rochel, that's called the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is the struggle of Leah, Imenu, in this world of good and evil. The Amad Eskasya. And the end of the parish is that there was a Jew who was Mekoshes Eitzim Yom HaShabbos. That instead of there being the Yom HaShabbos, Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha, instead of allowing for the arrival of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David to bring about the reunification of these trees of Rochel and Leah, that the Tam HaEitz should be Ketam HaPri. So the end of the parish is that there was a Mekoshes Eitzim who tore them apart, and that's the repetition of the Chet of the Meraglim. That's the continuation of the sin of the spies. It's all a manifestation of the mistake of the spies. And that happens to us every single time we fail to live as Jews in this world. And especially Shabbos, which is the day of the Chibur, the Shabbos, the day of the Chasna, Shabbos is the day to connect the Eitz HaChaim and Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra. And there was a Mekoshes Eitzim B'Yom HaShabbos. So I want to end these three talks, not with a story, the Davkin had. I want to end with the Tefillah of the Ramchal. It's important to close it with a Tefillah. The Tefillah is very deep, and I'm not going to explain it carefully. It's very short, just listen. Kel echad yochad miyuchad. One single and unique God. Hare Esav Yishmol Savivimoson. Esav and Yishmol are surrounding us. Shenema Sabuni Gam Sibavuni. We are encircled, we are surrounded. Sabuni Beschila Bechurban Beis HaMikdash. First we were surrounded and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And now we're surrounded in the long years of exile. And we can't get out. We can't find our way out. Now listen. The Nema B'Shechina, and regarding the Holy Presence, the Shechina, the disgraced presence of God in this world, the ignored beautiful Shechina in this world. In the book of Yeshayah, the Shechina is called like Rochel, like a delicate lamb, like Rochel Imenu, lifnei gozezeha nelama, before the ones who are shearing off the wool to disgrace and to strip the Shekhinah of all of her beauty. Ne'alama, and the Shekhinah remains silent. Rachel Imenu can't speak. Yeshayi Nun Gimel. Kerochel Lifnei Goy Zezeha Ne'alama. The Jewish people, the Shekhinah, the Knesset Yisrael, the Shekhinah is compared in this world to Nebuch, a lamb, a sheep that is before the ones who are shearing off its wool, who are stripping it of its beauty, Ne'alama, and she can't say a word. U'melech HaMashiach Nemerbay. And regarding Melech HaMashiach, it says, in Tehillim, Ne'alamti Dumiyah. Now I am silent. I am mute. I can't speak. I'm silent. I can't speak. V'ze Elokim, and that's the state of Elokim in this world. Shenishar Elaim. The word Elokim has in it the letters Aleph Lamed Mem. Elaim, which means to be mute, to be silent. Therefore, Elokim in this world, because of the desecration of the Jewish people and all that is holy, because we're surrounded by Yishmael and Esav, and the Malchus of Hashem is silent. So because of that, Elokim, Hashem is in a state of Micha Moicha Be'ilim, Chazal say Be'ilmim, that Hashem appears to us to be silent. We're screaming in Rabbi Shalom, speak up, do something, reveal your miracles. Take us out of Golas. And how long will this go on that Hashem is silent? Aleph Lamed Mem. Ad Sheyis Oyre Shimcha Kodesh B'Yichud Shalcha. Until your holy name will be unified. The Yishlot al Kulam, and then you will rule over your holy name. Elokim will rule over the whole world. Umasha haya ilam li Yisrael nase amol umus oilam. And that which you seem to be silent all these years to be an ilam will turn into amol aleph mem lamu, which means what? Miyat b'shem Hashem ki amilam. It means to cut down, to destroy, that Hashem will destroy our enemies. Those who are shearing the wool off the holy Shekhinah of Rochel Imenu. Those who cause the Mashiach to be silent. The silence of God, Aleph Lamed Mem, will be changed into Aleph Mem Lamed, which means that Hashem will roar like a lion and cut down Esav and Yishmael, the enemies. And how will Hashem do that? Vishnei Oisiyas Yud Hei, with the two letters Yud Hei. Because when you take the word Elam, which means to be mute, not to be able to speak, that's Hashem in this world, Chalila, where we can't hear from Him. And you put in the two letters Yud Hey, so the word Elam becomes the word Elokim. The silence is changed into Elokim, and Elokim means Gevurah, means strength, it means power, it means the Baruch Shalom's presence. It means Din Birishoyim. With the letters Yud Kei, Ko Yoshiachah Miatzas Miraglim, it means the taste of the tree and the taste of the fruit. It means Leah and Rachel being together. And that's why he writes, Shehem, the letters Yud-Hei. Shehem Shnei Mashiachin. The two letters Yud-Hei, the Ramchal says, correspond to the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Echad li-Yamin ve-Echad li-Smol. One is on the right and one is on the left. Shebehem Mishchabrim Kutshebrichu Shchintei. That through them, through the two Mashiachs, through the letters Yud-Hei, Rachel and Leah, that Hashem's holy name will be restored. And a Molech who conceals the Yud-Hei, Ki Yad Al-Keis Kor, will be destroyed. Ish ve'isha, and the man and the wife, the husband and wife, will be reunited. Yud-Hei Beinehem. You know that the Ish and the Isha share the letters Yud-Hei. Ish and Isha. The Yichud, there'll be the unification. Kol Zer B'Yichud Shalcha, she is Gala Alehem. B'Zer Aleph. That the Aleph in this world is so lonely. The Aleph from Hashem's name from Elokim. Bo ayei mekom kivod al haritzai. And the Aleph is longing from Elokim to be connected back again to the Yud-Hei. Which means joining together all worlds. Therefore, in Kedusha, in Davening, in Kedusha, which we have from the minion of the Meraglim and Adas Kairach. In Kedusha, the Jewish people, the Malachim, all creation screams out, Ayyei Mekoyim Kevodo. The Aleph is longing for the Yud Hei, which is Ayyei. Ribon Kol Ha'olamim, he ends, Master of all worlds. We are waiting only for your oneness. The emes for the unification. The emes v'hishyenu mitzareinu misaviv, and Hashem save us from the enemies from atzores that surround us. Hashem al ta'acha, Hashem don't delay. Lishuoscha ki visi Hashem, Hashem I long for your salvation. So here we are, many, many years later. And we were also spies. Except sometimes we're sent onto the F train. Sometimes you're sent to Manhattan. Sometimes you're sent into all kinds of weird places. To try as hard as you can to bring together the Yud Hey with the Vav Hey. Lamaise Bepoil. We should be zeichet to see the time where the silence of Hashem will be replaced, will be filled with Elohim, with the Yud Kei. We should be zeichet at that time, will be zeichet that everyone will have brought back all that was taken. And there'll be a chibur, a connection, a reunification of the Elyonim and the Sachtoinim. We should be zeichet, Mitzvah Hashem, to see with our own eyes, to see Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, to see the Malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu Mashiach, and the Malchus of David Malka Mashiach, and the Hafotzes HaMa'ayonas, and the wellsprings of the Holy Baal Shem Tov, go forth in the world, to bring together the two names of Yud-Kei, to see with our own eyes, Melech B'yof Yosech HaZeneinich, that our eyes should see the beauty of the King, of David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu, the kings together again, the Vias Mashiach Sekeinu, Vimhem Yameinu, Amen, Vimhem.